535. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saved me today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Ever is there and always will be for. I'm in the glory land way. This is the call the gospel of today. In the glory land way. Wanderers from home, patient to obey for. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Ever is there and always will be for. I'm in the glory land way. Onward I go, rejoicing in His love. I'm in the glory land way. Soon I shall see Him in heaven above. Oh, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Ever is there and always will be for. I'm in the glory land way.
Say number two before prayer. Number two.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him. Sun and moon and stars on high, praise Him, O ye heavens of heaven, and ye stars above the sky. Let your praise it be Jehovah, for His name and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted far above
Father, who art in heaven, we approach your mighty grace of throne. Father, we thank you so much that once again we have this privilege and this honor, Lord, to be here this morning. You opened our eyes this morning, Lord, and you enabled us to prepare ourselves to come here on this first day of the week, Lord, and to worship one with another, to sing songs, Lord, and to make melody in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the help that you've bestowed upon each and every one of us. Thanking you, Lord, for all of the abilities that each and every one of us have, Lord, to make ways for ourselves, sustain us with strength, Lord, to provide for our families. And for this, Lord, we're so grateful and so privileged. We're so thankful, Lord, that we're able to hear your word this morning, Lord, that it will strengthen our desire and give us the courage, Lord, that day by day to help us realize that as we go through this world that's gone wrong, that we need you, Lord, to help direct our steps and our thoughts in all our endeavors that are for good. And even more important, Lord, we're so grateful and so thankful this morning that once again we have the honor and the privilege to give praise and glory to you for our only begotten Son, that you sent him to the cross and that he willingly died for the remissions of our sins. On this day, Lord, we thank you that all of the church doors was open for each and every human being that have the desire to hear your words, that they can enter in those particular that are lost. They have this opportunity, Lord, to get to know Jesus, to hear his word, to confess him as Lord and Savior, and to repent of their sins and to be baptized, and enabling them, Lord, to you will add their name to the book of life. And Lord, this morning we extend this heartfelt prayer for the many, many precious souls that we have on our prayer list. And once again, Lord, we ask and pray that all of their needs, their health desires will be healed and mended, that they'll be restored back to their much-wanted health. At this time, Lord, we specifically extend this heartfelt prayer to Brother Fort Pate, the loved one of the Long family. We pray, Father, that you will reach out and touch the hands of those that minister unto him, and just give him the assurance, Lord, that all things will work together for the good. Lord, as we enter into this worship service this morning, we pray, Father, that the songs that we sang, the words that proceeded from our mouth, the lesson that Brother Hank has prepared, we pray, Father, that all that we do and say will be pleasing and acceptable unto thee. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll sing number 371. 371.
When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer again, while partaking of the bread. Precious we shall now serve at thee, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers to this in my memory, God so loved, what wondrous measure, love and gave the best of heaven for us with that matchless treasure. Yea, for us its life was given. Precious be all thou surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we speak, Christ gently whispers, it in my memory, these divine all else surpassing, precious love for you and me. While we serve, Christ gently whispers,
In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it reads that Christ once suffered for sins. Not his sins, because he committed no sin. He lived a perfect life. But he suffered for the sins of a sinful world. He suffered for each and every one of us, that he might bring us unto God. And then he ultimately gave his life on the cross. And he did so, and we know that this Jesus was no mortal man. This was the Son of God. And if he had chose, he didn't have to endure this suffering if he didn't want to. He could have saved himself from the death on the cross if he had wanted to. But through his free will, he was willing to endure this suffering. He was willing to give his life for each and every one of us, for he loved this world that much, to give us that hope, that salvation. So as we gather around the Lord's table on this first day of the week, we have the two emblems, we have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us clear our minds, let us reflect back on that sacrifice as we give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together, in fellowship, to come together in remembrance of that sacrifice that thy Son Jesus made on our behalf, Heavenly Father. To know that he was without spot or blemish, Heavenly Father. To know that he loved this world so much, Heavenly Father, that he was willing to give his life so that we may have that hope and eternal salvation. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this bread, represents thy Son's body, that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the cup. Lord, we're so humble this morning that we have the memory to remember the precious blood of Christ Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary, to remember how much you loved us and he loved us, and that he was willing to shed his blood that cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For we want to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. It's an opportunity for us to give back a portion of the many wonderful blessings that our Heavenly Father provides for us each and every day, to show our gratitude for all that He does for us each and every day. So let us keep that in mind. Let us have the right mindset as we prepare to give back. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for blessing us with life, allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, allowing us to marvel at that great creation, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for all your comfort, the guidance, for watching over us each and every day of our lives, Heavenly Father, through the bad, through the good, Heavenly Father, providing us with the will, with the ability to prosper in this life, Heavenly Father, to be able to provide for those that we love, Heavenly Father. And we're just so thankful for this opportunity to give back to you, Heavenly Father, a portion of the many wonderful blessings that you have given us. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we prepare to give back, that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
That's Mark 860 as a song of invitation. 860, song of invitation. For the lesson, we'll sing number 84. As soon as we sing this song, we'll sing 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you. Reading this morning coming from Colossians chapter 3 verses 23 and 24. That's Colossians chapter 3 verses 23 and 24. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, our brother Hank Davis, Jr.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning, church. Scripture tells us that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad. And it also says, rejoice. It also says that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. It is good to be in the house of worship this morning, to be able to worship, praise his holy name, sing songs, take the Lord's supper freely. It is just good to be able to worship God. It is good to see and be able to see each and every one of you. I had an observation this morning that it kind of, I was listening to Brother Charles Jr. preside this morning, and I heard him say, we're going to take the bread and the fruit of the vine. But it sounded to my ear a little bit that he said the fruit of the vine, which I guess both would be the same thing, right? But I just kind of heard that. I said, I wanted to share that. I said, wow, it's just funny how what we hear sometimes. But again, I just wanted to say it's good to be able to be in front of you to give another portion of the Lord's word. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. If you are visiting with us this morning, that we want to let you know that you are our honored guest. We pray that our service to this point has been both uplifting and edifying to you. And we ask that after service is over, that you don't rush off and give us an opportunity to be able to meet you. Life, I want to say right now before we get started, life is truly, truly a blessing from God. Blessed be the God and the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us all with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians 1 and 3. And many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are usward. They cannot be reckoned upon in order unto thee. If I were to declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You, Lord God, have done many, many wonderful things. You have planned marvelous things for us. No one is like you. I would never be able to tell all of what you have done. That is in Psalms 40 and 5. So let's take this day and every day that the Lord wakes us up and sends us on our way as truly a blessing. While everyone and everybody on this earth is going through something, know that we are loved by our God and we are blessed to be here. This weekend marks a very, very, very significant event in American history. And before several guys out there say, yeah, the start of football season, yeah, it's going, go blue. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about Labor Day. See, many see this as the time of year, which is the unofficial end of summer, the time when kids go back to school, and, you know, the time when people have their last vacation time or their last barbecue. And for some, this is going to be the last time they can wear white all year. Now, I don't quite understand that last one, but however, the true purpose of Labor Day is to recognize the many contributions workers have made to America's strength, prosperity, and well-being. The now national holiday is said to be rooted in the late 19th century and observed on the first Monday of September. Yet the first Labor Day was celebrated on Tuesday, September 5th, 1882 in New York City. However, on June 28, 1894, President Grover Cleveland signed a law making the first Monday in September of each year a national holiday. Now, I bring that up because, again, we've got a lot of people in here who work in many different facets in the world. This day would be, I remember when I was a part of the union back at the University of Michigan, we would go to the Labor Day Parade in Detroit. In fact, tomorrow you have people walking across the Mackinac Bridge because it's one of the greatest structures around that was ever built by man. Now, I will tell you that that is a great feat in and of itself to walk across the Mackinac Bridge because I have a hard time driving over it. So when I think about someone walking over it, I will say, good luck. But this is what we do. Labor has raised the nation's standard of living and has contributed to some of the greatest production the world has ever known. As I mentioned before, I know we have several in our audience this morning who's worked in the auto industry, who's worked in manufacturing, who's worked in construction, hospitals, and many, many, many other areas. Labor movement has brought us to a closer to the realization of our traditional ideals of economic and political democracy. This makes it appropriate, therefore, that the nation pays tribute to on Labor Day to the creator of so much of the nation's strength, freedom, and leadership, the American worker. So I want to wish everyone today a very happy, a very healthy, and safe Labor Day. So for all of you out there, happy Labor Day. And for your football fans out there, yeah, go Blue. So there I said it. All right, so as followers of Christ, we should also be very, very, very familiar with labor, shouldn't we? We are all instructed to toil and to labor until Jesus comes again. John 9:4 reads, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And similar to laboring on a job, the world in the world where we get paid a salary for doing our work, and you know, we get paid that salary, we get up, we punch the clock, we do that, we do our work. And sometimes when we're on that job, come on now, I'll tell you, sometimes we're not doing the work as hard because sometimes we feel like either the company don't appreciate us sometimes, or some of our coworkers is sloughing off and we feel like we're doing two people's job, right? So it's like, and then when you get close to retirement age, it's like, I'm just watching the clock. But we, as followers of Christ, if we do our godly work well, in spite of outside distractions or circumstances, we won't just receive a meager salary. Oh no. What does the scripture tell us this morning? That we receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ we are serving. That is what it tells us. That is what it tells us right now in Galatians in 6:9. That's why it tells us in Galatians and 6:9 that we are not to be what? Weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So even on this in this earth, and what we're doing, we must do our very best, not as for men, but for as the Lord, as the scripture says this morning. Jesus will explain to his apostles in greater detail on how to gain this inheritance from our Lord. In Matthew 19:28-30, Jesus said unto them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on the glorious throne, that you will have followed me, you will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children of fields, for my sake will receive 100 times as much as will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many that will be last will be first." He would then go on and explain what he meant by that. What do you mean by many that are last will be first, and many that are first will be last? When we go to Matthew 20, Jesus explains this with the parable of the workers in the vineyard. He explains this in the workers of the vineyard. And he says that Jesus was telling what the kingdom of heaven would be like. When he said, "Early one morning, a man went out to hire some workers in his vineyard. After he had agreed to pay them their usual amount of day's work, he sent them off into the vineyard." Now, for clarity, I'm reading from the contemporary English version. It says that about 9 that morning, a man saw other people standing in the market with nothing to do. He promised to pay them what was fair if they would go and work in his vineyard. So they went. It also says that at noon, and again at 3 that afternoon, he returned to the market, and each time he made the same agreement with others who were loafing around who had nothing to do. Finally, about 5 in the afternoon, the man went back and found some others standing there. He asked them, "Why have you been standing around doing nothing?" He said, the people said, "Because no one hired us," they answered. Then he told them to go and work in his vineyard. That evening, the owner of the vineyard told the man in charge of the workers to call them in and to give them their money. He also told the man to begin with the ones who were hired last. And when the workers arrived, the ones who had been hired at 5 in the afternoon were given their full day's pay. The workers who had been hired first thought they would be given more than the others. But when they were given the same, they began to complain to the owner of the vineyard. They said, "The ones who were hired last worked for only 1 hour, but you paid them the same as you did us, and we worked in this hot sun all day long." The owner answered to them and said, "Friend, I did not cheat you. I paid you exactly what we agreed upon. Take your money now and go. What business is of yours if I want to pay them the same as I paid you? Don't I have a right to do what I want with my own money? Why should you be jealous if I was generous?" Jesus then said, "So that it is, everyone now last will be first, and everyone first will be last." There's a lot that goes on in that passage of scripture. Let's first look at this. Everyone that is last that will be first, and everyone first that will be last. Now, I want you to take a little journey with me, if you will, on this. Let's just imagine that we want to go to this. You go to a big city. They got these huge skyscrapers Let's see, on top of the skyscraper, over 110 floors, let's just say. But on the very top is a penthouse that's got a beautiful, fine restaurant. And we want to all go and eat at this fine restaurant. Some of us get in on the first floor. It goes up. The elevator goes up a little bit. It gets off. It stops at the 9th floor. Some more people get on. It goes up a little bit more. It goes up to the 12th floor. A few more people get on. It goes up again to the 5th floor, the 3rd floor, the 5th floor, and more and on and on. And more people get on this elevator. We finally get to the penthouse. The elevator is full of people. The doors open up. We've been on since the 1st floor. Who's getting off first? The people who got on last are the people who are getting on first. The people who got on the 10th floor are the people who are getting on first. Why? Because what God is telling us right here is that when we're all on there, we're on there. We've been toiling for a long time. Some of us are younger, older than others. We've been toiling all our lives. But we've all been promised the same inheritance. But as long as we get on that elevator and get there, then we all will receive the same thing. We'll all get a chance to eat. Amen? This is what he's saying right here. Many floors to stop to give others a chance to get on. And when elevators open up, we all get off. And then those that got on first will get off. And then sometimes we're cramped in that back corner of the elevator. We got to wait till everybody gets off. And then, you know, we can be annoyed by that, like the man here in the scriptures. But then what happens sometimes, we get to the last two or three people to get off, and we'll look at the person to the right of us or the person to the left of us, and what we'll say, after you. That's what we do sometimes. See, this is what happens. This is what he is talking about, that as long as we are in that field, we are not to be jealous. We are not to be angry. We're not to get upset because other people get a chance to get on. And then when we're going out and we're doing our work, we have to also understand that what the scripture says. We've got people out there that has nothing to do. The people out there that's loafing. People out there that didn't get hired. That means they didn't even know anything about the Lord. That's what we're talking about here. Bring them along with you. Let them come along. Let them work in the fields with you. And we're already doing the work. We don't get mad because the owner hires someone else to work with you. Have you ever been on a job and work short? Have you ever been on a job where you're doing what you're supposed to do, but we ain't got enough people to get the job done? So now we got to work almost two people's jobs. Then they hire somebody else. What is our job when they bring them on? What's the first thing they do? Ask Bob what to do. You know, let him show you how to, let him show you the way. That's the same thing. That is our lot right here as Christians. Let them see the works that you're doing in your life. Let folks see. Nobody hired us. Nobody knew what. No, we don't know what to do. Let me show you what to do. And then when that individual is out there working the fields with us, how are we going to get upset when we know we've already been promised our reward? Because they came on before or after we did. No, we are supposed to rejoice. Our work, the work of the Lord, is to be carried out joyously. Not for human masters. It is the Lord Christ's work we are serving. And John 6:28-29 will say, then said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered to say unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. We have to work and do the works of God, but we got to have faith in the one who sent them, and faith in Jesus Christ, the one who God sent. This is what scriptures tell us. That means we're supposed to emulate the things that he has done. We're supposed to emulate that love. We're supposed to emulate that compassion, that empathy, and on and on and on. We are supposed to freely be able to tell others about him whom we serve. We're supposed to talk to him often in prayer and in supplication. That no matter what's going on in this world, God, no matter what I'm dealing with, no matter how much I hurt about whatever I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to talk to you anyway, because this world is not my home. And I have to do what you ask me to do so I can get out of here and be with you. And let him be the head of your life. Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. That's what 1 Peter 5:7 says. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come unto me, what? All ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When we work and we labor for the Lord, we are blessed. We are blessed. Start talking about Labor Day, because we always talk about labor. And every time you can hear people till this day, get up, I got to go and get on my grind. I got to go and get it in. Okay? I got to get it in. I got to make this paper. We need to understand that we need to get it in so we can achieve this inheritance. But it's a lifetime thing. It's not a grind. It's not a J-O-B, just over broke. This is what we want to get, because we've got an inheritance, which means we are part of that ancestry. When we work and labor for the Lord, we are blessed. And we are blessed whether we are poor in spirit or we are grieving. We are blessed whether we are in mourning, whether we are meek and humble, whether we want to obey God more than we want to eat or drink, we are blessed. We are blessed whether we are merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, or even persecuted for righteousness' sake. We are blessed. So when we're doing the work of the Lord, Scripture tells us to be happy and to be excited that you are doing it, and you will have a great reward, not here, wasn't ever promised here, but a great reward in heaven. People did the same things to the prophets, Scripture tells us, long ago. So we are to be blessed, and we are to work the work of the Lord. And it is a lifetime thing. And we are to rejoice when we got others in the vineyard. We are to rejoice when we got others as understanding what we're doing, and when we're letting the Lord lead us and letting him guide us. Because this world isn't our home. But we are blessed if we do what the Lord tells us to do, and we work. We have an inheritance waiting for us. O land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will my moment come, when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home? No tranquil joys on earth I know, no peaceful sheltering dome. This world's a wilderness of woe. This world is not my home. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest. He bade me cease to roam and leave with comfort on his breast till he conduct me home. I saw at once my Savior's side. No more my steps to roam. With him I braved death's chilling death tide and reached my heavenly home. I will work till Jesus come. We'll work till Jesus come. We'll work till Jesus come. And then we're gathered home. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the question is simple. What must I do to be saved? Understand that God's already done his part by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for remission of sin, and whoever shall believe it and is baptized shall be saved. Your part, if you so choose, you're not a Christian, you've heard his word. Believe in his word. Repent your sins. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Be baptized and come up out of that water and walk in the newness of life. And God then adds you to his church. As Acts 2:47, not by vote of man, but God alone adds you to his church. If you're already a Christian and you strayed away for whatever reason, know that God loves you, and your work here is not for mankind. Remember, the Father is waiting to rejoice and celebrate in your return. If you are in need of prayer, as always, prayer works. Always, prayer works. And so, may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. We work till Jesus comes. Whatever your needs this morning, we ask that you make them known. As we stand, have a seat in the first pew, as together we stand and sing the song of invitation, and may God continue to bless you all.
Sing a song of our calling. Oh.